Matthew's Gospel in chapter 10, and I'll be reading 1 through 15. Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 15. At some point, I'm going to be leaving the book of Matthew because my messages between the Center Effingham Church and here are beginning to overlap. And I don't want you to have to get the same thing twice. So, but I'm not quite there yet. So we'll try to do probably chapter 10 anyway. I think I can do that before I have to switch over. But Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 15. And when he had called unto his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus and Labanus, whose surname is Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. May God add his blessing to the reading of the scriptures. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do pray for your understanding and discernment in the Word of God. We do pray, Father, for the ministry of your Spirit to work in our own hearts, and to teach us what we need to be taught, that we may receive of you that encouragement and edification and exhortation of faith that continues to help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our blessed Savior, and that we may lift up the name of the Lord Jesus, that we may preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that we may continue to encourage the brethren. Thank you, Father, for your love and grace to us. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The message this afternoon is simply Jesus calls his 12 disciples. That is the kind of thrust of what is going on here, isn't it? That Jesus is now calling his 12 disciples. As Jesus entered upon his public ministry, we find that it was necessary for him to call those unto himself that should be his disciples, and later be known as the apostles of Christ. And so that they would be greatly used of the Lord in the ministry of the gospel of Christ. Yet at this time we find that they were to go forth and to preach the kingdom message, that Jesus Christ had come, that the Messiah was now here, and that that messianic message should go forward to his own people, that they may receive him. And so we want to look at this passage along that line of the calling of his 12 disciples. And so, first of all, Jesus commissions the 12 We see that in verses 1 through 4, as each one of these disciples called unto him, he then commissions them, he sends them out, he tells them where to go, what to do, in that they are to carry the message of the gospel of the kingdom of God unto them, and his own people, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so we find that he commissions them, verses 1 through 4. In verse 5, we find that Jesus sends them forth to minister to the lost. And in this case, they were not to minister to those outside of Israel, but rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They were not to go to the Samaritans, and they were not to go to the other nations, the people of the who were called foreigners or strangers, but rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and that they were to give that message of Christ and of the kingdom of God. And then thirdly, we find that Jesus warns them of certain hardship as they will be going out and preaching the gospel, this gospel of the kingdom, because there is always hardship in the ministry. That is, they would necessarily face certain obstacles along the way. And we know that even today, as Christians, we face obstacles in the ministry. And there is a cost of discipleship. And so we realize that if we are to do God's program, then we must use his means, we must use his methods, we must use his message. We must go about it in the way that he instructs us. And at this time, the disciples were being instructed on just how to go about the towns and villages of Israel and to minister the gospel of the kingdom. So first of all, we see in verses 1 through 4, Jesus commissions the 12. Jesus commissions the 12. In verse 1 through 4, and when he had called unto him his disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So Jesus commissions these. He called them unto himself. He called them unto himself. Generally speaking, there are two calls that are given to the person who should be a disciple of Christ. There is the general call, which is a call that goes out to everyone. And at this particular time, the call that Jesus gave was specifically to the disciples. But in preaching the kingdom of God, we know that it was to go primarily unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But in the overall call of God, which he sends forth in the church age, there is the general call. That is the call that goes out to everyone, whosoever will may come. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In any of those verses which speak about a certain thrust of the gospel of Christ, there is no exclusion. That is, all are called to believe, all are called to come, all are called to accept, all are called to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Well, at this particular time, we find this general call which was given to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It was that call that they might come unto him and receive of him. But yet we find the very first chapter of John says that he came unto his own and his own received him not. That is, there was not the reception that he had hoped for. John came preaching baptism unto repentance concerning the kingdom of God is at hand. And there were many who were baptized in the baptism of John, but yet not all believed. Not all believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But so this general call that was given out to Israel was a valid call. John gave that call to all, for all to repent and to believe, for all to accept the kingdom of God which was at hand. Jesus had come. The Lamb of God had appeared upon the stage of the world that all may come unto him. But yet not all did come. And then there is the sense of the specific call, or the special call of God. And in this special call of God, we find that Jesus calls especially his 12 disciples. His 12 disciples. And of course, they became a very integral part of the plan of the Lord Jesus Christ to instruct those disciples, disciple his disciples, teach them, if you will, that they might know what the true extent of the kingdom of God was, and how that it was to be, how that message was to be given out. And so these two areas are very important that we understand. The general call that went out to everyone, the specific call which was to the disciples. And today we should recognize the same is true. Now that Jesus has gone to the cross, that he has suffered for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he arose again according to the scriptures, that he was seen of some 500 brethren, and that he ascended up to the right hand of the Father, and that on the day of Pentecost the Holy Spirit descended with great power, and they were endued with power from on high, and all heard the gospel in their own language, in their own tongue. And now the church age has of course been extended for now some 2,000 years, and we find that this general call of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of Christ still is going forward. And we find that this general call is to everyone. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And so I trust that you understand that when you give out the message of Christ, you are giving out, first of all, a general call. You are calling people unto faith in Jesus. Only God the Holy Spirit can give a special call or specific call to the individual. Of course, Jesus Christ, being unique, the very Son of God, when he spoke and called his disciples unto himself and gave that a special call of God, he was bringing each one of them unto himself that he might bring them into that fold, if you will, wherein they should be prepared to go forth as his apostles. You will give out the general call of Christ. Christ and God the Holy Spirit will give the special call. He will give that call especially to the ones that he is calling unto himself. You don't have to be concerned about that special call. That's God's affair and he will take care of it. You give out the general call. And God will honor that call just as he honored the call that which he was gave his own disciples, and which they in turn were to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and to give to all Israel. And so God commissions his 12. Jesus commissions his 12. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So Jesus commissions the 12. He called them to serve him. What were they to do? Jesus gives them power to do ministry. He gives them power to do ministry. Just as Jesus came preaching and doing those signs and wonders or miracles which God would have him do because he is the Son of God and must be revealed as the true Messiah of God, so his disciples would go out in the very name of Jesus, the Messiah of God, and they would do similar miracles. And that's what he tells them. He would give them power to do it. He would give them authority to do it. When they went out in his name, they would have the authority to do those very things, such as to cast out unclean spirits and to heal all manner of diseases and sicknesses. Jesus gave that power to his own apostles. And this is the power that comes with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not one which is given casually, but with great specific ministry of God. And even today, the Church of Jesus Christ is given power in the name of Jesus Christ. But it's not casual. It's not without specific ministry. It's not without a certain qualification, if you will. As God the Holy Spirit gives that ability to minister for him. Why does the preacher get up and preach, and how does he preach? But in the name of Jesus. The preacher does not get up and preach in his own name, but in the name of Jesus. The preacher doesn't tell you the way of salvation in his own name, but in the name of Jesus. The preacher doesn't say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved of his own ability, but only in Jesus Christ, who is able to bring that faith which is unto salvation. The just shall live by faith. Justification is by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. And that is not because of myself or any other preacher. It is because of God the Son and of that great work of redemption which he himself has done. The disciples went out in Jesus' name. And when they went out, authorized by Jesus to do these things which he said, they were able to do them. Not because of themselves, but because of Jesus. And this was the power which Jesus gave unto them. And we don't have to understand it, we just have to acknowledge it and say, yes, Jesus is the Son of God. He is the one who has the power and authority to do these things. And they did go out and do these things in his name. And when you go out and you serve in Jesus' name, remember that Jesus is giving you the authority, not because of yourself, but because he has said, go out in my name. Tell others the gospel of myself, of the kingdom of God, and of Christ. Tell others, and they will believe as I bring the Holy Spirit upon them. They will believe. And so Jesus gives them power to do ministry. Jesus calls those who are to serve personally, one by one. We find in verses 2 and 3 and 4 here, he calls them one by one. He calls them personally. When Jesus calls people to himself, he calls you individually, personally. Each one of you, if you have come to faith in Christ, he called you personally. He didn't call me by somebody else. He called me personally as he spoke directly to me. It doesn't matter whether somebody else delivered the message or not. Jesus called me personally. And that's what he does. He calls us personally, by name, if you will. He knows our address, as someone has said. And he is able to bring us to the foot of the cross. He's able to cause us to see his shed blood and for us to know that he has shed his precious blood for us for the forgiveness of sins. And he impresses that truth upon our hearts that we might believe and have faith in him. And so remember that when you go and tell others about Jesus. They will not come because you tell them. They will come because God the Holy Spirit is the one which is convicting them and which is working in their heart and is the author of faith within them. Remember, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is that one who gives faith unto us to believe. It is not of ourselves. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. And so it is that Jesus sent them out to do this work. He gave them power to do ministry. He called them. He commissioned them. He called them one by one personally. And Jesus calls us to ministry without reservation. Without reservation. Because he is the one who is commissioning us. And so it is that he sent them out to do this great work of preaching the kingdom of God unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Secondly, in verse 5, Jesus sent them forth to do ministry. Jesus commands them to take the gospel of the kingdom to the Jew first. That's what we see in verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, of the nations, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And we find that the oracles of God were given unto the Jewish people. That is, the very word of God, the revelation of God, came unto the Jewish people, unto Israel, unto the 12 tribes, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the patriarchs of the faith. They received of God the very revelation which had within it the message of the promised seed, the Messiah of God, and that he should come. And this message of the kingdom of God was to be preached first unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so Jesus sends them forth to minister to the lost, to the Jew first. And Paul later tells us in Romans 1:16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation," to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. But it went to the Jew first. That was primary to Jesus' call and ministry, to take the message of the kingdom of God to his own people first. And that's what his disciples were to do at this particular time. They were to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Verse 6. "But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." They were lost. And we find that if we go back to the book of Isaiah in chapter 53, for instance, we find that this wonderful chapter, which tells of the coming Messiah and of his sacrifice for sin, was that message which was given in context to the Jew. It was a message, of course, that would have greater influence to the whole world, because we do know that even in the Abrahamic covenant, that all the families of the world, all the nations of the world, would be blessed because of the fulfillment of that very covenant that Jesus himself would come in the fulfillment of. But we find now at this particular time, the kingdom of God must be preached unto the Jew. And so he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to be called the sons of God. And so we do recognize that as many as did receive him, and there were those who did receive him, especially, of course, the 12 that were called unto him, yet one of them was a betrayer. And, of course, there were a great multitude of people that followed Jesus, and many of them turned back. But yet we find the testimony of many of the disciples after the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ, in that it says, "And he was seen of some 500 brethren at once, and there were many others who gave testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ after the resurrection. The graves were opened at the time of the crucifixion of Christ, and many came forth and went into the city of Jerusalem and did give testimony and witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the day of Pentecost, some 3,000 souls were saved. And after that, subsequently, many thousands of souls were saved. Yes, there were many who became disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. There were many who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and were saved. I trust that you are among that group that are saved. And you are saved because of the Lord Jesus Christ and because of the great call of God upon your heart. The general call which you heard and the special call which you received. The common grace of God, which goes unto all men, that God extends his grace unto every individual. He gives grace unto the hearer. That it says in Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and his firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter a speech, night unto night show his knowledge. There is no speech nor language where his voice is not heard." The common grace of God goes to the ends of the earth. and everybody knows the common grace of God in creation. If you go to the end of the same chapter, in Psalm 19, you find that it outlines the commandments, the laws, and the statutes, and how that is the further revelation of God and becomes the special revelation of God to all men. And as one has the law and the commandments, they are further taught in the very Word of God, those things. So we have the general call, which goes out to everyone. We have this special call of God, which calls individuals to Him. We have the common grace of God, which goes out to everyone. And then we have the special grace of God, which impacts that life personally that receives of the law and the commandment and the grace of God to receive His only begotten Son. Yes, Jesus sends out His disciples at this time unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They were to go to the lost sheep. Jesus instructs them what? To preach to the lost sheep. Verse 7. As ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, what did they need to know? They needed to know the Messiah had come. They needed to know that this was the time in human history when the Messiah is revealed, and Jesus is revealed, and that He is the promised seed of God. He is of the seed of David. He is of that lineage wherein the Messiah should be revealed. And perhaps we are reminded of Mary and how the angel came to Mary and so wonderfully revealed that she should have a child and His name should be called Jesus and He should save His people from their sins. And they would, Jesus would give His own disciples this message to preach. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven. Heal the sick. Cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely ye have received, and freely give. And Jesus tells them that they were not to rely upon themselves for their own support, but rather upon God. You know, I think it's very important that we realize that God continues to bring His message forward in such a powerful and clear and concise manner. Sometimes we think we have to perhaps do a little bit too much to give the message of Christ to someone. When the disciples of Christ at this particular time were to preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, just as John was to preach, the kingdom of God is at hand. And be baptized, repent and be baptized. The kingdom of God is at hand. That was the message. And His disciples went out to preach that the very same, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe upon the Lord, on the Messiah. And what are we to preach? We're to preach Jesus Christ, that He died, that He rose again, that He was buried, that He arose again. We are to preach according to the Scriptures, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. That's what we are to preach. Sometimes we think we have to give more. And we are to say, repent and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. It's a very simple message. And sometimes people will receive this message that we give, and sometimes they will not. But we are to give this message. And so we find that they were to go forth, commissioned, and they were to be sent forth to minister to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Our ministry for Jesus is clear and without apology, a message that saves and delivers from the bondage of sin. The message that the disciples were to give at this particular time was clear and without apology. Jesus didn't tell them to do anything else but to go and to preach. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and if any would be healed of their sicknesses, if any would have devils cast out of them, if any would be delivered from bondage, they had the power and authority to do it in Jesus' name. And they were to do it. Our ministry must also be without apology. We just simply give the message that God has called us to give. And as we give it, God will use it according to his own design. Thirdly, Jesus warns them of certain hardship that go along with the ministry. Jesus warns them of certain hardship. Verses 11 through 14. And into whatever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return unto you. And so we find that Jesus tells them that if any will not receive you, then you should not extend your peace to them. But if they will receive you, then extend the peace of God to them. In other words, those who would receive the message and receive it in peace, then that house is to be blessed of God. But if they will not receive it, then that house would not have the blessing of God upon it. And, you know, really it's the same. It's the same in the church age. If people will receive the message of Jesus Christ, they will find blessing in it. But if they will not receive it, then God cannot bless it. God cannot bless that house or that person if they will not receive it. They are yet without Christ. They are yet in their sin. Ye must repent, or ye shall all likewise perish. That's what Jesus told them in the Gospels. And so Jesus tells them to look for worthy souls to preach the gospel of the kingdom to. And that when they tell them the message, that if they receive the message, let your peace be upon them. But if they will not receive it, let your peace return to you. Jesus tells them that the judgment of God will be upon that house who will not receive the word of God. Verse 14 and 15. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now, you might wonder, why does he add that? Because the city of Sodom and Gomorrah was pretty bad. In fact, God rained fire and brimstone down upon it and completely destroyed it. It was so bad. Why would he say that? Because the Messiah had now come. The full revelation of God in Jesus Christ had now come to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. If any will not repent in view of the Messiah of God and of the message that is brought through Christ at this time, there is no more hope for them. There is no more hope for them, you see. And even today is true. If you preach the gospel of Christ, you take it to this home, to that home, you tell your friends, you tell your family, you tell your loved ones, you tell the strangers, you tell the world about the Lord Jesus Christ. If any will not receive the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no more redemption for them. Redemption is through the blood of Christ. And they are worse off than Sodom and Gomorrah in that sense. For they have the message, the full revelation of God given to them. And so Jesus tells them that the judgment of God will be upon that house who will not receive the word of God. And then lastly, we might add, we are to remember that the methods, means, and message of salvation is all of God. Is all of God. At this time, the message, kingdom of heaven is at hand. The means, Jesus gave them power and authority to go out and to do these things in his name. And the message, all of this was truly the salvation of God unto his own people, if they would receive it. But they did not receive it. You know, the same thing is true today. We have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, according to the scriptures. This is the message. He has given us the power and authority through the Holy Spirit of God. We have been given the Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost. God, the Holy Spirit, dwells in the believer. And we are to go forth and to give the message out. God sanctifies and sanctions His method, His message, and salvation unto all who will hear. And we are to go and simply take it to them and live it out in front of them. Of course, this is true also of the disciples. They were to go and to live out the message of the Messiah as the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They represented Jesus when they went out in His name and did these things. We represent Jesus when we go out in His name and when we preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, according to the Scriptures. And so we find that Jesus calls His 12 disciples. I trust you also know the call of God upon your life. I trust you know the call of God. Because as you realize the call of God upon your life, then these other areas will impact you much more importantly. That is, they'll become much more vital in your life. If you realize that you have been called of God, then what you have been called to do should be equally as important to you as your call. And if that is important, then that means you must do something with it. Let us look to the Lord in prayer.